Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Now to baseball, and we did get some significant developments with the Pete Alonso saga on Thursday as his camp reportedly rejected the Mets' reported offer of 3 years for somewhere between $68 and $70 million, including opt-outs. Now, the Mets were said to have had a willingness to go slightly higher on the total amount without deferrals, but I guess Alonso's camp has decided they weren't interested in that.
You know what? They really don't want him.
Seems that way.
I mean, they have their heart set on a certain number, and they will not pay him, and they will not go over that. And it's kind of a little bit disheartening for us Met fans. I mean, I'd love to have seen him in this lineup to see what it would look like, and maybe he would have had a bounce back year. But at the moment, it doesn't look like he's going to be here. And if he's not here, that's, you know, somewhat disappointing.
Yeah, it is, but it's all because of what happened last year in that season. He would have gotten more money, maybe an extra year, if he had put together one of his regular Pete Alonso seasons, and he didn't. And David Stearns, you always talk about ruthless. David Stearns, doesn't matter who you are, if you fit the profile of a guy that he doesn't want on the team, which is a declining past 30-year-old player who had his worst season, I don't care if there's polar bear t-shirts out there. I don't care if there's bobbleheads that are scheduled. I don't care if all the Alonso jerseys are going away. I'm here to win, and I don't think that guy is worth this, so see ya. So, I mean, those are the really, really tough decisions that you have to make as a general manager, and I appreciate it. I mean, I'm gonna miss him, and I think that home run, I thought that home run, I was caught up in the emotions of it. I thought the home run in Milwaukee, I was like, he's definitely got to come back now. But
that was also before signing Juan Soto. I was telling my nephew Randy yesterday, we were talking about this. I said, I still find it so hard to believe that they gave Juan Soto $750 million. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not a five-tool player. He's a great hitter, of course. You know what I mean? What?
Yeah. No, it's just, I'm just interested.
I mean, Aaron Judge.
Poking holes in Juan Soto.
Aaron Judge, to me, mm-hmm. is worth every penny because he plays great defense. He's got a great arm. You know, he could steal bases. I think they tell him not to steal bases. They don't want him getting hurt or anything like that. Like, Aaron Judge is the player. That is the baseball player.
Different stage of his career, different age.
Right.
I know, but I'm saying he you know, Juan Soto's not, his hitting's going to be fine. But his fielding, his arm strength, all of that other stuff, that's not going to get any better.
What happened to you?
No. He had this take for forever. It's the money. He always liked Juan Soto as a player.
Too
it's just the money.
Got it.
But, you know, but we did this for weeks, and it's not just about giving him the money for everything he does on the field. It's about taking him from the Yankees. It's about Steve Cohen planting his flag in the ground. It's about Steve Cohen getting a downstate casino license. It's having that guy there. It's about all of those things.
So, I know. It's a business decision, and it's not my money. I don't care, but it's still hard for me to fathom.
Well, fathom it, man, because he's there.
Three quarters of $1 billion for what I think is a great hitter and just so player.
Well, hopefully he'll win you over once we get to the regular season.
You want to see a real baseball player, so Judge is the everyday baseball player. To me, that is the best player in baseball. Shohei Ohtani, last year, injured elbow coming off of the Tommy John surgery. He's a 50-50 guy. That is ridiculous. That's a guy who cares. That's a guy who actually impacts the game in so many different ways. That's not who Juan Soto is.
Hey, while we're on this, you think Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame? Let's get it all out.
By the way, he'll impact the game on the mound coming up this year, Ohtani. Probably you're not getting another 50-50 season out of him while he's pitching as well. They're going to cut down on the base stealing if he's back to being a regular in the rotation.
Yeah, but you get 200 strikeouts.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Impacting it in a different way, obviously. The Mets, though, are going to bring back Jesse Winker. Sounds like 1 year, $8 million, so you'll have him back in the fold. All this, as it's happening yesterday, you know, Sal ends up going on his Baseball Night in New York show in SNY, and I guess prepared to quickly move on from Alonzo the Met, as it turns out.
On second thought, forget about what I said about Alonzo. I was playing checkers. David Serge, you were playing chess. I didn't think there was a better option than Pete. I was wrong. Go get Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Imagine Soto and Vlad hitting back-to-back in the Mets lineup. Yes!
So now he's got them maybe trading for Vlad Jr. instead of waiting for him to become a free agent.
I think that they'll sign him. I don't think that they're going to get him in a trade. I would be shocked if they got him in a trade. I'd be happy, but I would be very
surprised. So you
think
Toronto's going to extend him?
No, I think they're going to
sign him as a free agent.
No. I think what's going to happen is that they're going to start this season. They're going to see how it goes.
Yeah.
And if they're playing well, they're going to hope that him growing up there in the organization and giving him a big offer is going to keep him there. And they're going to try to win next year. If they're bad by the trade deadline, they're going to trade him. And I think they're going to try their ass off to keep him in the offseason if they keep him through the end of the season. But then Steve Cohen's going to do what he did with Juan Soto, and he's going to blow everybody away. And David Stern's going to say, yes, this is the guy that I want because that guy fits who we give the money to. We give the money to guys like that. We don't give the money to guys like Pete Alonso.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland, dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey. And by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts, NBT. A special call of the day or tweet of the day. We have some breaking news as it pertains to the New York Mets. Number one, the Mets are bringing back Jesse Winker to be their DH, 1 year, $8 million.
Yep.
Okay, fine.
That's
with
fine.
That.
Yeah,
good clubhouse guy.
Good energy.
Lengthen
yeah,
out the
I like
lineup.
Him.
Not a problem. Number two, and this is where it gets fascinating, and this is huge. Andy Martino tweeting just a little while ago, the Mets have pivoted to Plan B, post-Alonso. They now consider it the most likely outcome that Alonso will sign elsewhere. They add Winker and will add a reliever, possibly a top one.
He's gone. That's it. It's over. It's gone.
Okay, now I ask you, do you really believe that the Mets would go get Juan Soto, let Pete walk, add Winker, and a top reliever, and not have something up their sleeves?
I don't, but there's a caveat. The general manager. He is very adept at doing lower-level things, at least perceptually, that become big things. And he's probably also a lot more willing to roll out three unproven players, and I wouldn't do that with Soto.
Here's what I would say. Remember you said before about your cannon?
Yeah.
That if the Mets get Vladdy, you point that cannon toward the Bronx?
Just to wake him up to get one more move, yep.
Well, if the Mets don't get Vladdy, that cannon is going to be aimed at the Mets. Because I'm good with this. As a matter of fact, I'm great with this plan. If it ends up with Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you need him. Before it was, okay, well, if you don't get him, you have Pete. Now they've made their decision, and I find it interesting that on a day where the report, for the first time, this was Ken Rosenthal earlier today with The Athletic, for the first time we heard another team interested in Pete Alonso, and that team was the Toronto Blue Jays. I find it interesting that for the first time we hear another team, it happens to be the Blue Jays, and then the Mets immediately say, we're on a plan B post Pete Alonso, here's Jesse Winker. Something's off.
There's a lot of smoke, and I think he's gone. And if that's the case, that would surprise me, because I thought they were going to find a way to get this done. I thought that, I've said this for a while, that Cohen would, at the end of the day, right before you had to punch it in finally to get it in the end zone, now it's time to strike a deal. All right, David, get
right.
It done. And he's not doing that. He's letting Stearns cook, which I think is smart, because that's why you hired him. Now, the wording of this, and who had that report? That was that last one about Plan B, pivoting to Plan
Andy.
B. Andy had that.
Andy.
Okay. So the way it's worded, and much like, the Yankees pivot to Plan B, the Mets now pivoting to Plan B. Plan B can be really good, but it can't go to Plan C. To your point, Plan B's now got to include Vladdy.
That's it, yeah.
And if that's the case, then Plan B is actually Plan A,
right?
Because Vlad is better than Pete.
And I would bet
But you got to get Vlad now.
I also think it's, there is some posturing and potentially softening. This is not going to go over well with Mets fans, obviously. Especially not without Vlad in hand. Which is why I'm saying, it's kind of a warning shot. Okay, that I am fine with this as long as Vlad follows. I would think the majority of Mets fans are going to be ticked off and upset without having Pete Alonso back. So imagine if Vlad doesn't follow the feeling. You go from potentially the highest of highs with Soto and thinking about pairing him with Vlad to potentially a low of lows where, you get Soto, that's great, but you just lost Alonso and you get nothing else.
I think they'd be a lot more measured than you think now. And again,
Fans?
I could be wrong, but let me just throw this at you. Now, maybe this is going to expire fast. They're not going to be like this for 5 months. Understood. Let's just say Pete Alonso signs, today, Thursday? Let's say Saturday night, Pete Alonso signs a four-year deal with the Angels or Toronto, right? Pete's officially gone, but Vlad's not delivered yet. I don't believe the immediate reaction, Saturday night.
No, I meant
I got you, but yeah. Okay. Meaning, I think that Met fans are okay with Pete moving on. Not all of them, of course. I got buddies texting me, guys that, you know, that I coach with in town, who, big Met fans, who keeps it. They're like, and they know what I say about Pete on the air. They're like, man, you know, you're not 100% wrong, but he means this and that. And I get that part. But I would have to say that there has been a pretty radical shift in commitment to bringing Pete back from the Met fan. I think at one point it was 99 to 1% years ago. Then I think it was 80-20 after the one bad year in 2023.
Yeah.
Now I think it's probably 60-40. And honestly, with the possibility of Vlad, I think it's probably more like 50-50.
Well, the possibility of Vlad was new yesterday. I'll tell you my own timeline. You know what we said years ago, and I stand by everything that was said. Okay? Everything that was said years ago.
Proven you're right here because they haven't signed them.
I took a lot of crap for that, but yeah. I stand by everything.
Yep.
But forget about that for a second. I also said that after the postseason, I want Pete back because they need another bat in addition to Soto. It was supposed to be bringing Soto in and having, you know, the lineup that you had last year with Soto on top of that. Otherwise, a better alternative. I threw out Willy Adames was my first choice before even I thought Vlad was a possibility. Okay, and then Vlad becomes a possibility, whatever you think about it. Then it turns out that Toronto's not trading him. Okay, so he's off the board. All the other first base options are off the board. Now you got to bring Pete back. And even if it's for a short-term deal, just bring him back. And now you go at it with Alonso's going to hit 30-plus home runs behind Soto. It's a nice little lineup that you have there.
Mm-hmm.
Until yesterday's Martino report, when I found out about it being a realistic possibility that the Mets checked in on Vlad, also knowing that if that is their plan, checking in on him now, at the end of the year, it's going to be realistic, assuming he hits free agency, to just go buy him, and then everything comes together. So it doesn't mean that they need to get somebody right now, but for this season, they're thin. They're thin in the rotation. Even if they add a big arm, they're thin in the bullpen. And even with adding Soto, they're thin in the lineup. Thin. Now, I'm not saying like they can't win and get to the postseason.
They're not depleted, but they're a little light. Yeah, I would agree with
that. They're not as good as the Dodgers, the Braves, or the Phillies at the very least.
No.
Okay. Now, if you tell me that there's the payoff...
Or the Padres.
Yeah, fair enough.
On paper.
Whether it's Vlad midway through the year, you know, spring training, obviously, midway through the year, or at the end of the year, I guess I'd be okay with it. As long as losing Pete ends up with getting Vlad, I'm okay with it.
And you should be. But the difficult thing, maybe not for you, maybe though, and for others, is that there might be 3 months where you're dealing with no Pete and no Vlad.
Right.
And depending upon how the season's going... That's how the temperature's going to be going.
Right, but that's a big... Now, you know if the season's not going well, Stearns, much like he did last year, will try to fix it. I don't know what the options are going to be, but he's not going to sit on his hands and just say, oh, well, nothing we can do about
this. No, I get that. He's going to fix it. He's going to try.
We just don't know what options are going to be out there, none of which are sexy or more appealing than Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
There's no doubt.
Doesn't mean that there might not be an option to get a bat to replace him. But going in, you're already now starting... from a position where you're going to be behind, at least on paper.
Real fast, I think I have to point this out, because as we've gone through this, it's always been like, the Mets, at least for a lot of people, Mets are disrespecting Pete, you know, all-time Met, home runs, this, and I get that. There's certainly an element to that. People need to remember what exactly happened. So to get to this point where if you think the Mets are being disrespectful to Pete or lighten the offer, which is financially disrespectful, whatever, understand... Pete turned down a pretty good offer, and understand that Pete fired his agent and brought in a mega power to make the Mets' life more difficult. And when you do that, you better deliver. And I don't mean 87 RBIs and 34 home runs.
He didn't.
So, there you go.
He had his chance. So, when Mets fans, before you start to get upset about the organization, everything BT just said is spot on. They wanted him back. They tried to sign him. Didn't work out.
Yeah.
Change of regime with David Stearns.
Yeah, things happen.
And he didn't produce. Like, there were three or four things that Pete could have changed himself. He didn't. Turned him down, went with the power agent, had two down years. I was going to say even, like, he really wasn't good for 2 years. And outside of an incredible postseason home run, I think that the feel, including from me, would be, I'm done with Pete. I was kind of done with him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't see the better option. And now the Mets, they kind of have to go get Vlad, because either way, BT, going into this year, it sounds like... it's on to plan B. No more Pete Alonso. Mm-hmm. Vinny is in Cliffside Park. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, guys. What's happening?
What's up, Vinny?
Hey, Vin.
I think you're going to like this scenario there, BT. You know, if Alonso does go to Toronto, let him go to Toronto. his hitting coach is going to be Donnie Baseball. He's going to be batting 280 before you know it.
He could teach Donnie about scoops.
There you go.
The preeminent scooper in the game. That's funny. Yeah, Donnie's still up there. Yeah, bring Donnie home at some point. Get him out of there.
I hope for Pete's sake, I'm not trying to be funny there, but I do hope that he has
me too
success somewhere else.
I hope it works out well for. I hope he's happy.
I hope he gets a good deal and is happy.
I agree.
Somewhere else.
Yep.
And then I really hope that the Mets get Vladdy, because then everybody's happy. Let Pete go somewhere else, get his money.
Uh-huh.
The Mets get the better player, the younger player, the better investment, the more exciting player, the more dynamic superstar player, and everybody's happy in that scenario.
And this is nothing that Mets fans are going to want to hear now. You and I did the mathematical projections, and it's actually 500's a lot trickier than, like, people say, oh, he's going to get 500 home runs. I don't know if he is, but
he was never getting that because they're never going to have him here long enough.
Correct. He was never going to retire a Met. I think Evan said that, I totally agree. But, like, there's no rule that says, all right, he can't go, like, maybe he goes to Toronto for 3 or 4 years, or Anaheim, or the Giants, and he's sitting on 479, and the Mets bring him back for a year, and he hits 500 as a Met.
Reyes came back,
Reyes came back.
Gary Sheffield did 500 with the Mets.
Real fast. This is a huge story. Yep. I know you guys are doing it on SNY tonight. Interesting pod for me. Unkillable Jets. All right, WFAN YouTube. We're going live. Spotify, Apple. Check out my Twitter. I've got Patino on tonight. It's a Jets pod, but it's about changing a culture of losing, which he's done everywhere, including the Knicks. I think you guys might want to tune in tonight. Really, really good.
And thank you to St. John for sending some merch to Hoff and I. Looking forward to going to the game next week at the Garden against Xavier. All right, that does it for us. Back again tomorrow. Discuss all the Pete stuff. Also, the divisional round weekend, so we got plenty more to do. Thanks to Dove, Hoff, everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.
What we do know is that they had an exclusive window to negotiate with Pete Alonso.
Okay.
And nothing has happened.
And why is that?
I don't know.
Because neither side broke off of what they were willing to give.
If you are willing and you really want a guy back and you have an exclusive window, you're going to get him back.
They want him back on their terms. Until Boris agrees to the Met terms,
Never going to come to their terms.
Well, then is someone else?
What do you mean?
Is someone else coming to Scott Boris's terms?
I don't know.
Well, if the answer's no, then where's he going? Is he going to play in Tokyo next year?
He hasn't negotiated with any of those other teams yet.
I understand that, but do you think...
That just became available to the Blue Jays and others.
But do you think another team is going to go to where Scott Boris wants? By the way, the answer may be yes, Teague. I'm saying I don't know. I can't assume the answer is yes.
I would think that a team that's looking for short-term help, whether first base or DH, is on a short-term deal, would be very interested in Pete Alonso.
I didn't say very interested. Do you think they'll get to the terms that Scott is insisting on that the Mets don't feel comfortable going to?
That's the thing. I think that's what we're disconnecting. I think that the Mets don't want to go anywhere.
Well, I don't agree with that. You don't think there's a real offer for Pete Alonso? Think it's all fake?
I don't know. I'm just getting the sense that they don't want Pete Alonso.
Oh, I'm getting a sense they want Alonso for their price. And we could disagree about that. What do you mean, why?
Why do they want Pete Alonso on a short-term deal at their price?
Because they don't view him based on his age and on the fact that he has slowed down the last few years. They don't want committed long-term monies to him.
He hasn't been excellent. And so if he's not trending in the right direction, why do you want him at all?
They want him on a short-term contract.
For what reason?
Because he can help them in 2025. The Mets' best chances of winning in 2025 includes Pete Alonso in the lineup. Am I wrong?
Mostly, yes.
I'm mostly what? Wrong or right?
You're mostly right.
Okay, so that's why you want him back.
But there's also the unknown of the alternative. And the alternative could be Brett Beatty. Like, I don't know who the alternative is. I haven't dug deep enough to say, well, this is what the Mets are going to do if they lose Pete Alonso. Because we haven't thought about them losing Pete Alonso. But beginning yesterday, when you asked me about why this is going the way that it's going, I'm starting to get the sense that the Mets don't actually want Pete Alonso.
I think they want him back for their price. Now, we can disagree on how far they should go, because I disagree with the Mets. Mm-hmm. I'd go farther. I would try to get this deal done. I've got a billionaire owner who's willing to spend. It's a short-term deal in which Pete could opt out after 1 year, and worst comes to worst, it's only a 3-year contract to a guy who's 30 years old, and despite his decline over the last 3 years, I'm not fully convinced he's going to turn into like a 720 OPS player next year. Mm-hmm. So I disagree with the New York Mets. I go further. But I do think that they want him back at their price. And right now, Scott Boris isn't bending.
Now, if the Toronto Blue Jays bend in the next 24 hours, then yes, I will be wrong. I will be devastated as a Met fan, and he'll be a Blue Jay, and the Met chances of winning in 2025 become tougher.
Yeah.
Because they're further away from winning if Pete's not in this lineup. But as of right now, here's what I know. What I know is the Mets made an offer. Boris made an offer. They're not close. The Mets are saying, all right, let's go move on and make other moves. But if Scott Boras doesn't get what he wants from Anaheim or Toronto or any other team and then ends up coming back to the Mets saying, all right, you know what? We'll take that three-year deal. I don't buy for a second that the Mets are closing the door on that because it would be stupid to because it would hurt their chances of winning in 2025. This is no longer the argument I had with you and others
right.
5 months ago about giving the guy a six-year contract. We're talking about a short-term deal. And what I think is going on right now is we are seeing ugly negotiations, and they're occurring in public. So we're all giving opinions now, like, oh, my God, can you believe the Mets did this? Can you believe Boris did that? Until Pete Alonso signs a deal elsewhere, he is not a former Met.
No,
and I'm not going to stand here and just accept that and say, oh, gee, he's gone. Why? Because it's leaked that way? am I supposed to be that naive?
No, I'm not saying that. Because I'm not even responding to the reports from Joel or John or Heyman and whoever it may be. I'm just getting the sense that the Mets don't feel as passionately about keeping Pete Alonso as the fan does. And the fan has a different reason for wanting Pete Alonso.
Okay, stop right there.
Than the Mets themselves do.
Let's get to those reasons because I think this is really important. I'm going to do something really, really special right now. I'm ripping it off. I'm ripping it off my face. You know what I'm taking off? I'm taking off my fandom and my emotions.
Impossible.
No, I am. I'm going to do it.
Okay.
I'm going to become cold-hearted.
I will judge whether or not you've taken off your fandom.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I'm going to be a cold-hearted sucker. I no longer care that I grew my beard out for Pete Alonso. I no longer care that he had a home run to beat the Milwaukee Brewers and keep the Mets season alive.
Okay.
I no longer care that he is 26, 27 home runs away from being the all-time home run king in New York Met history. I'm taking it all away. It's all gone. Now I'm the cold-hearted sucker who just wants to see the New York Mets win in 2025, right?
Mm-hmm.
He gives them the best chance to win
in
2025.
I'm not disputing that. But without him, what are the options? What are the other options?
You want me to break that down for you?
Other than Pete Alonso. Obviously, the internal option is Brett Beatty.
Yeah.
Right,
but Brett Beatty plays third base. Vientos plays first base.
Right.
Ronnie Mauricio is hopefully healthy.
Talking about the bat.
Yeah, I think there's a few bats. By the way, there's a few bats. Jose Iglesias gets re-signed, and he plays a lot of third base.
Mm-hmm.
Luis Angel Acuna plays a lot of third base. Brett Beatty plays a lot of third base with Mark Vientos playing first base. So forgetting the position shift, and obviously Jesse Winker brought in a DH. Starling Marte is going to DH.
Right.
There are internal options, and I just named a few, of guys who would essentially replace Pete Alonso's bat in the lineup. And while we don't know what those guys can be, I'm telling you right now, and I defy anybody to disagree because you can't, those internal options, who will get a chance to play anyway, by the way, are not better than Pete Alonso in 2025. As far as reallocations of funds, here's the thing about baseball. It's so annoying compared to the NBA and the NFL. There's no salary cap.
Right.
So when you tell me, yeah, but they're going to take the funds and they're going to buy Tanner Scott. Tanner Scott's a good reliever, Ev. Wouldn't you like that? Of course I'd love that. But you're telling me I can't have Tanner Scott and Pete Alonso? What's that? There's no salary cap in baseball.
I don't think it's matching or at least comparing Pete Alonso to an alternative at a different position. I think the question is, what will they do if Pete Alonso is not on this team next year? Because there's not any free agent options. There's none available.
Of the other options was signing Anthony Santander, DHing him a little bit, playing Brandon Nimmo in center field. I think bringing Jesse Winker in at a much cheaper rate, $7.5 million, probably means they're not pursuing a bat like Anthony Santander. I don't think they're pursuing a bat like Alex Bregman. And for everyone out there fantasizing about Vlad Guerrero Jr., I'll say this again to you, as kindly as I can.
Said it yesterday, and it's worth repeating. It's not happening.
He's not being traded by the Toronto Blue Jays right now.
Yeah.
Will the Mets sign him next year in free agency? Maybe. Sure. He's a free agent. The Mets have a lot of money. That's absolutely on the table.
Or trade for him at the deadline, perhaps.
Blue Jays struggle. Is he available? Absolutely all possibilities. The idea that that's happening now, I think is fan fiction.
Yeah.
That's all I think it is when it comes to Guerrero Jr.
Yes.
So I'm not ripping him as a player. I'm not saying I don't want him. Again, right now, you ask me, is he a Met in 2026? Yeah, there's a really good chance of that. But guess what? Are we talking about 2026? What, are we breaking down 2 years from now?
No.
I'm talking about this season. There's a baseball season coming out this season. So taking the fandom out, I know you don't believe me. I know you think I'm lying. Take the fandom out. I'm a hardcore, let's just talk ball, bro. Mm-hmm. Talking ball, bro. Pete Alonso gives them the best chance to win in 2025. And if I could bring him back on a short-term contract, I'm making it happen.
Yeah, but this almost, to me, feels like, man, I got to take this Band-Aid off, and I really don't want to. And the Mets are stealing themselves. Not like stealing a base, but stealing themselves, making themselves hardened to move on from Pete Alonso. That's what this feels like to me. Not dissimilar to how they did it with Jacob DeGrom. This feels like they're trying to move on and do it as painlessly as possible.
Well, it's painful. It's not painful.
I know that. But
it's not painless.
The lack of any kind of substantive comments on this. The lack of any kind of real progress on this just tells me that they're trying to do it and not make it painful for the fans.
See, this tells me that this is a rock fight. And right now, the New York Mets and Scott Boras are in a rock fight. Scott Boras wants this. The Mets are only willing to give that. They're leaking stuff out in the media. And until Pete Alonso signs a contract with another baseball team, which, by the way, may happen today. You want your blood, you may get it today. I have no idea. The moment Pete Alonso signs elsewhere, that's the moment I'll say into a microphone, he's gone and there's nothing we could do about it. But as of right now, he's not gone.
What if this is about Pete, though, more than the Mets?
What do you mean by that?
You know, not for nothing. Put yourself in Pete Alonso's shoes. I think you just hit on everything. How many hints is a guy supposed to take?
Yeah.
He is a homegrown yes. Met. He could be the all-time home run king of Queens. And he has sat there and just watched a whole song and dance with a player he's going to acknowledge is better than him with Juan Soto.
I like what you did there, by the way, the king of Queens.
The king of Queens. Yeah, nice. The whole, and I know you guys fought about it yesterday, the whole how much family means to us, how much this. This guy is dying to be able to be paid what he deems his value by the team he grew up with here. What if it's about Pete now finally going to the Mets? You know what? You're going to give me ultimatums. You're going to do this. If he has any pride at all, it's, you don't want me, I'm not begging anymore.
I love being a Met.
I think this may surprise you that I'm going to say this. It's absolutely on the table. I acknowledge that Pete Alonso is a freaking human being who's also sensitive, who may just say, I've had enough.
Yeah.
You guys don't want me. And that's possible. And I've always warned that if you get involved in a negotiation like this, where it's every dollar and it's about what we think you're worth and we're not bending, it could get ugly. And it could get personal enough for Pete Alonso to say, you know what? I'm done with you.
Yeah.
So while I can't say you're right, Sean, do I acknowledge that that's absolutely a possibility right now? Of course it is. But it's not over yet. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you it is because I'd be lying to you. Now, am I hurting right now as a Met fan? I am. That's where I put my fandom back on. I'm a diehard Met fan. I don't want to see this guy go away when he's going to accept a short-term contract elsewhere. Mm-hmm. That annoys me. That pisses me off.
The Mets have informed Alonso and Boras that they need a decision soon. It has not been reported the Mets gave them, you know, an offer that was the drop-dead offer, but it sounds like that's what's probably going on, where this is it, you take it or leave it. And David Stearns has obviously drawn a line in the sand and said, we will take Pete Alonso back with this particular contract. We don't feel comfortable with anything else, which is fine with me. I mean, I know that Pete...
Do we know the particulars or the accuracy of the contract? It's like 3 years, $90 million, and some sort of player opt-out after a year if he has a tremendous season in this lineup or not?
Well, that's what was reported that the Boras camp came to the Mets with. You know, and they said, all right, three-year deal with opt-outs, but they never said what the money was going to be in that three-year deal. So, I mean, three-year deal with opt-outs is fine as well, and you wonder, you know, so you hear also the rumblings, which could be a negotiating ploy, but I do know that the Mets are going to be in on Vladimir Guerrero Jr. as a free agent. But
could bring them both in then.
You know, saying, right, but saying also that they are now interested in maybe trying to trade for him now, which I don't think will happen. I think the Blue Jays, especially a big draw that he is, they're going to see how the season's going. They don't want to lose him for nothing.
Let me ask you a question. The Blue Jays have been in on every single big player this cycle, have they not?
Well,
I feel like
they've been reported to be in on everything, but that doesn't mean that they actually are.
I mean, if they are in on all these players and reportedly in on all these players, then why don't they just sign Vlad Guerrero right now?
Because Vlad Guerrero is going to say, no, I want to go to the open market and see if Steve Cohen overpays for me like he did with Juan Soto. That's why. They could try.
Right.
But he's probably going to say no, like Soto said no to the Padres and the Nationals.
So do you think Vlad Guerrero is going to garner because he's a much better defensive player than Pete Alonso and also Juan Soto? Do you think he's going to garner more money because he not only hits for power average and he's a better fielder? Do you think he's going to make more money than Juan Soto?
I don't think so.
Really?
No. I think he'll get a massive contract. I don't think it'll be more money than Juan Soto. But, you know, it's a shame that it's gone this way with the Mets and Pete Alonso, and really it's because of last year. I mean, David Stearns himself gave Pete Alonso that contract offer we talked about last offseason, which was, it was a big deal. It would end up being 7 years or 8 years at a, close to $200 million, whatever it was, and turned it down. They wanted that player at that point. He played it out. He bet on himself. He was horrendous in the clutch in the regular season, had the huge home run, obviously, against the Milwaukee Brewers that we'll never forget. But David Stearns is thinking, we're looking at a guy at the wrong side of 30 who is declining, had his worst season yet, and it's just not worth it for us to pay him a bunch of money just because of the feel-good Pete Alonso stuff that goes on, the Met fan liking him and the polar bear and everything else. It's not worth it to
us. I mean, I just wonder what the numbers are, and I wonder if there are opt-outs. And, you know, is it 3 years, $75 million? Is it 3 years, $60 million? Is it 3 years, $90 million? Is it a one-year opt-out, a two-year opt-out? I mean, and is it the player's ability to opt out, or does the team have the ability to opt out and maybe, you know, buy him out for $10 million on the back end?
Yeah, I mean,
I would need to know all the particulars of the contract before I could actually have an opinion as to whether or not it's the right thing to do. I mean, short term, I can buy into that. I think that's good. But, you know, I don't know also whether I think Pete wants to stay here in the worst way. I think he loves playing for the Mets. I think he'd like to be a lifelong Met, but if he has a five-year deal, let's say from the Athletics or, you know, the Cubs or St. Louis, somebody like that. I mean,
I don't think he does.
But if he did, I think he would have already signed it.
I agree. And that's why the Mets are holding, you know, this line that they're holding and saying, all right, I don't feel like you got a lot out there and we know you want to be here. So this is what it is. This is the deal. If you could do better, then go do better.
I also got to think, just like the Yankees, with Juan Soto in the lineup now, and you add Pete Alonso to that lineup, I think Pete Alonso benefits, obviously, from Juan Soto being in the lineup, and I think Juan Soto benefits from Pete being in the lineup.
Yeah. I mean, you really can't argue that. I mean, Pete's someone that, you know, in a bad year still has big power numbers, but his clutch numbers were just horrendous last year, so a lot of those home runs were meaningless home runs. But yes, and then if, you know, Pete Alonso's not there, you're going to have to try to replace that production some sort of way as we are in the middle of January. I mean, the Mets haven't done much here.
I would bet you that Alex and Steve Cohen want Pete Alonso back. David Stearns would like to have Pete Alonso back, but it has to be under the Mets offer currently. That's the only way I think he comes back. This way the Mets can say, look, we gave him a fair offer. He decided to go elsewhere. And I think as long as the Mets have that in their back pocket, then I don't necessarily know that the Met fan could get all that upset if Pete Alonso ends up somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Soto contract was humongous. It was the biggest signing of the offseason, the biggest in their history. We know that. But after that, it's been pretty quiet for the Mets. I mean, bringing Manaea back was good, but it has not been the flurry of activity that we sort of expected after the Juan Soto deal, where you're thinking, all right, you know, people are going to want to be a part of this. You know, they're going to not stop there. But still plenty of time, but it's just, I mean, it is certainly grinded to a halt. But, I mean, it's the classic. You could apply what's going on with David Stearns and Pete Alonso in all sorts of walks of life. Like, I like this thing, but I don't like it at that price.
What are we, about a month away from pitches and catches?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Yeah, I think we are.
I mean, that's
about like a month away from pitchers and catchers there, Al.
That is the most overrated thing in the world. Nobody
cares. Al loves pitchers and catchers.
Nobody
loves
cares
it.
If pitchers and catchers are you showing up. It's just, yeah, it's yeah, just it. Like a sign of spring. That's what it is. That's why people get excited about it. It's like the red-breasted robin. When you see it bopping around in your lawn, and you're like, okay, this is pretty good. Spring's right around the corner. You know, with the groundhog situation. But that's the whole pitchers and catchers report. You're like, oh, it feels like baseball. But nobody's actually caring that pitchers and catchers are reporting. You know? Well, it feels like baseball.
You know, don't I kind of care.
No, you don't. Stop. Yeah. No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You don't care.
I do care.
You are a guy who is not about the fluff and the nonsense. You're about playing the games, starting the season, things that matter. You don't care about pitches and catches. You don't.
I kind of do.
So you're going to be sitting there watching all the spring training games? Grapefruit League games?
No.
Okay.
But I do care about pitchers and catchers. I don't know why. It just seems like something I should care about. I am a sports talk radio host.
Yeah, I understand. And there's lots of things you care about in sports.
I do. I care about a lot of sports, yes.
I just think it's an overrated thing, is all I'm saying.
Okay.
It's just that, like, the fan isn't necessarily excited about pitchers and catchers reporting. What it is just, it's a symbol of things to come.
Yeah, it's like a blooming.
Yeah, it's like we're getting out of the doldrums and into the spring.
Super Bowl's over.
Yeah.
Football season's, you know, we all get depressed when that happens.
Yeah. Yep.
But the good thing about that is that, you know, we'll have the Knicks. Hopefully we'll have the Rangers. They keep playing the way they're playing. We'll see.
If you're drafting months, January's got to be number 11 or 12, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Here in New York?
Here, yes.
Would you take January over February?
I would, because it includes New Year's Eve. Huh. It includes a lot of the playoff games in the NFL. You know, we got the college football playoff now going deep into January. Yeah, I kind of like January.
February. You like January.
Yeah, February is a little bit of a. You got the Super Bowl, of course, but, you know, March Madness isn't getting ready to get started yet.
You said you like January. So you would take January over another month in February?
I'm taking January over February.
But that's it.
Right. I don't like March either.
March is not a great month, but you would take March over January.
Yeah, I would take March because we're getting close to April, and that's my birthday month.
Right, and, you know, March has got, you know, St. Paddy's Day in there. It's got the beginning of the baseball season, March Madness. There's things that are going on.
Baseball starts way too early.
Well, obviously, and goes on way too long. We know this.
Baseball should start May 1st and end September 1st.
I'd love that. I would absolutely love it.
I have a little update here.
On?
Pete Alonso.
Good or bad for if you're a Met fan that wants Pete, good or bad?
If you're a Met fan that wants Pete, I don't think it's good.
Oof.
If you're a Met fan who wants bigger and better,
Vladdy?
Then I think you might be happy here. Okay. This is Ken Rosenthal less than 10 minutes ago. I just saw it come up. Pete Alonso's market is heating up. Blue Jays are in the mix.
I said them yesterday.
Alonso's market heating up with three teams, including the Blue Jays. Again, this is according to Ken Rosenthal with Will Salmon of The Athletic.
Blue Jays?
With three teams, including the Toronto Blue Jays. They're engaged in discussions for the power-hitting first baseman. League sources said if the Blue Jays landed Alonso, they'd still prefer to keep Vladimir Guerrero Jr. But
could be enticed with a nice package, basically.
But do the math.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. Like that to me sounds like the Blue Jays are involved.
Yeah.
Could be a little more of an insurance plan.
Do you know the other two teams? Angels,
the Mets,
maybe?
The Mets are one.
Oh, okay. Who's the other team? Angels?
It doesn't say, I don't
know. Giants? Okay, good.
Meanwhile, the New York Mets want a resolution, as the Post said. Said it first.
Mm-hmm.
The Mets are in active talks with other players, and it would be difficult to fit Alonso into their plans if they strike a deal in other pursuits. Okay. So the point is, though, Toronto is interested in Pete Alonso. You think Alonso's going to go there to be a DH? I think this is Toronto says, okay, Vlad's not coming to an extension. This is me just taking the information here and putting my own opinion on it based on common sense. It's Toronto saying, okay, we can't come to an agreement long-term with Vlad. Let's get Pete, who's going to produce and hit home runs, and we can get him to play first base at a good cost.
Mm-hmm.
and then maybe trade Vlad.
Okay, I can see why you see it that way. I don't see it quite that way.
Okay, how do you see it?
Toronto's been trying to give money away for years. Mm-hmm. Nobody's taking it. So, I don't think it quite goes like this. All right, Pete, here's our offer, and let's say Toronto, I'll just throw something wacky out. 4 years with an option, either way, whatever, $120 million, more appealing than the reported 3 years, $90 million on the table for the Mets. So I don't think it goes like this. Hey, Pete, here's the four, 120 with an option, but you're the DH. I just think it's an offer that is much more appealing than anybody else, and Pete might just find that enticing enough to go with. I don't think... Now, I'm not saying that there wouldn't be machinations behind closed doors from Toronto's perspective. Hey, listen, in case we have to trade him, you know, we got this guy who's going to hit some home runs and is a decent first baseman. We got a decent plan B. But I think now I think their plan is to deploy both.
I think after I gave this some more thought yesterday, after Martino's report, I think that the Mets and Vlad are a lot more serious than that report from Martino would indicate, or that any of us thought about prior, because the Mets definitely sold Soto on something. There's no way Soto was coming here thinking that this was going to be the plan, the current Mets lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And take it a step further, would he be okay if it were just Alonso? And if that were the case, then why wouldn't Alonso already be signed by the Mets when Alonso's camp went to the Mets with a three-year deal, with hat in hand, basically tail between the legs, three-year deal? If they told Soto, hey, we're going to bring Pete back, why wouldn't they then do that? Because I think, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but in this particular case, based off of the brilliant reporting from my colleague at SNY, Andy Martino, about the Mets already inquiring about Vladimir through the Blue Jays, based on the timeline that the Blue Jays have set for, or that Guerrero has set, meaning no contract extension talks after the first day of spring training.
Mm-hmm.
Now you throw Toronto potentially being involved in Pete Alonso. Vlad also Dominican. Soto Dominican. Both younger players. I'm assuming they're probably friends.
Mm-hmm.
I would be willing to bet, and I don't know this, that the Mets in their pitch to Soto had eyes on Vlad, whether it be trading for him now or signing him next year. And at this particular point, I think, in my gut, Vlad is going to be a Met.
Oh, here we go.
I'm sorry to do this to you again, buddy.
And he's with, look at, tell everybody the sweatshirt that you're wearing, just in case they're not watching.
This is the best gift I got this year. My sister and my niece and nephew, Flushing, Queens. Soto! A Soto shirt! Now I'm going to have to add to it. Soto! And Vlad! I think it's happening. I don't know if it's going to happen now. I really, BT, you're telling me there's not legitimacy to what I just said?
I'm not saying that. I'm definitely not saying that. It just seems like quite the orchestration. I mean, and I'm not saying that that's implausible, but like, do you think, let me push it a little bit of a different direction. This will be devious, but yeah. I don't rule it out. Do you think there's a chance that, you know, Vlad, no matter what Toronto puts in front of Vlad, he's not signing?
Yes.
Okay. And do you think that there's a chance through some sort of back channel intermediary, Vlad's people kind of communicated that, I'll say loosely, so there's no collusion or anything illegal going on, to the Mets, which is now, and now you drop the deadline, hey, first day of spring, I don't have it. Now there's all sorts of things going on that is emboldening the Mets to not sign Pete because they expect that Vlad's just going to force his way out to go to Queens. Is that possible?
Yes.
I think it is too. The only thing that could sabotage that is that Toronto controls where Vlad's going.
Right.
And now, talent evaluation is very subjective. We talk about this. They might love Acuna. They might love Beatty. They might love Gilbert, all the other guys you got. But they might love, I don't know, the Angels players a lot more. I don't know. So it could be a little bit of everything, but it definitely feels real.
And you left out a key part. I agree. Toronto controls where Vlad goes for now.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, being that he's a free agent to be, the worst case scenario for the Mets would be that, well, really the worst case would be that they trade Vlad somewhere that he signs an extension. But that's up to Vlad. So if he really does want to be with the Mets, and there's reason to believe He would, because he knows that they have a rich owner and maybe his guy Soto is there.
And he hates the Yanks. Maybe,
okay, so if he does, then he would probably say, okay, well, that's great. You want to trade me to the Angels? I'm not going to sign there.
Great, I'll play for a year and then I'm going.
So outside of the worst case, which Vlad controls, whether he could hit free agency or not.
Yep.
The other worst case would just be that the Mets have to, not punt this year, but figure out other options this year. Maybe Santander for a year, maybe Mauricio, whatever.
We keep Santander for a year. Well, he's not coming to 44 home runs. But maybe, I got you. Something like I got you.
I don't know. Maybe whoever comes.
I got you.
A shorter term thing to figure out this year.
Yeah.
And then in the offseason, he's there.
Let me give you a, again, plausible.
Yes.
Let me give you a worst case scenario.
Okay.
Vlad Guerrero gets dealt somewhere. It's not the Mets.
Right.
He signs somewhere. And Pete says, right. Screw you.
Understood.
I'm out.
Again, much like my risk with Mitch, I'm willing to take that risk.
You're a gambling man.
Ooh. High risk, high reward.
Hoff, you excited? What do you think about this?
Vladdy's coming off. Come on, baby.
You mean to tell me that David Stearns, who's been sitting there playing, you know, ball with Pete Alonso, that he's going to, you know, I'm not moving from this number these years. All of a sudden, he's going to cave to a Toronto Blue Jays trade? I don't think.
Not cave.
No, he's doing it to get Vladdy.
I think he wants to do it.
No, no, no. But my point is, you think that the Blue Jays are just going to hand him over for like a bag of balls?
No, I don't.
He's going to want the top prospect.
Yeah, and Stearns is going to do it.
But you do it because it's Vlad Guerrero.
Half these guys Stearns didn't even bring in anyway, Hoff. This is Epler's team.
Hold on a second. You're killing me, both of you. The fact that you're going to sit there, all these prospects that they're trying to build up, and all of a sudden you're just going to trade them away, all five of them, for a rental player that you're not guaranteed to sign.
Yes.
Oh, hello, Juan Soto, part two.
Yes.
Did we not learn from the Yankees last year?
Yes, you do it every time.
No. Hoff, maybe you're cutting some sound.
That's how you turn it to Brian Cashman.
Hey,
Brian Cashman, how do you feel about not having Juan Soto on the team and trade away five guys for nothing?
What is your obsession with Alonso?
Yeah, he's turning on his Mets.
Not Alonso. I don't think you're going to I don't think that
trust Stearns. Hoff is so mad.
He doesn't trust Stearns.
No, I don't.
He doesn't.
That's the problem.
How's the pitching staff?
How was it last year? January 16th
still.
Oh, the pitching staff I believed in much more than Canning Griffin or Griffin Canning, whatever the hell's his name is. Come on.
Hoff was so mad and hurt by
Look at that stupid hat on his head.
He's got a hat hanging
with the big thing.
100 years, baby. 100 years.
He's so upset about the Alonso potential not with the Mets. He brought in the Mets schedule, the giveaway for this year.
Yes.
He comes in, I'm like, what's this? He's like, oh, it's the giveaways for the Mets. We're like, okay, well, so what about it? He goes, no Alonzo stuff.
Yeah. And why would there be? Not on the contract.
David Wright and Hello Kitty are on there.
And Vlad Jr. soon. I really feel it.
Hey, Vlad, the Hello Kitty, there's a global demand for that. I don't even think a team in baseball wants Pete.
The KBO. I told you.
Beanie Babies are probably more in demand than Pete at this point from 20 years ago.
Hey, oh, God. I really hope the Blue Jays sign Pete.
Oh, God.
Expedite the process. You know what I'm saying, BT?
Yeah, I do. I know what he's saying.
When you start to connect the dots and think, well, what the hell is going on here? Do the Mets really want Pete? And Stearns, despite the lack of trust maybe from Hoff or Beningo or some others or Met fans, despite that, he's smart. He may be playing chess. Everybody else playing checkers. All of a sudden, you quickly go from the thought of losing Pete to the thought of gaining Vlad. And there isn't a person that I talked to yesterday via text that wasn't as pumped up as you could be about the idea of the dream of pairing Guerrero with Soto.
I'm going to say that. I know we got a break here. We'll come back. We'll get these calls. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal. If you guys get Vladdy, I am going to point my cannon right in the Bronx. And I am going to scream every day. You better get somebody else. Pony up 7 years for Bregman. I don't even really want. Do something.
You're going to have DJ LeMay. He was funny in that.
This new reality that is a short-term deal or even a one-year deal with anybody else other than the Mets. So it's just the Mets. So when somebody else has a chance, the Mets, there's a good chance, are just going to say, damn, we tried, but sorry, Pete. Good luck with your career.
And if that happens, I will be upset. Right now, I think David Stearns, who is still relatively new to us, I am being open-minded enough to give him a chance to, as the kids say, cook.
Yeah, but
you are cooking Scott Boras right now. I'll let you finish the meal. I will allow you to then come to us and say, all right, guys, got it done. 2 years, $52 million. What up? I'll give you that right to do that. So I got to scream and yell. Yeah, you haven't lost them. Mm-hmm. What am I going to scream and yell about? Projecting what I think may or not happen? I'm going to allow you to cook. But if they lose him on a short-term deal, I will be frustrated. I will be very upset. Do you share that emotion, Tommy?
I do. I ultimately, I think Pete Alonso will be back. I agree it'll be on a short-term deal. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is the apple of their eye, you know, pun intended there. And I think that Juan Soto, I think a lot of people have same personnel right now. I don't think it's just David Stearns. I think Steve Cohen. I think the family atmosphere they're trying to build. I think Juan Soto. I think a lot of people have said.
Just time out real quick about this family atmosphere.
I know. You throw that in as if
Pete
is a negative to that.
We're building a dynasty.
Yeah, but hold on a second. Don't give me family atmosphere crap when you treat your brother like this then. I just don't want to hear about that.
They're not treating Pete like this.
No, they are treating
Pete
treating
Scott Boras like this.
Yeah, but Pete is the client, and they're basically saying...
who hires Scott Boras?
But hold on. They're basically saying you're disposable to us. So I'm okay with that because that's business. Like, I'm cool with business. But when you throw in the family stuff, it feels disingenuous.
I'm just telling you what they say and what they're doing.
And I'm countering, you use the words. You just spoke into a microphone.
But
I'm responding to
words.
You. Do you think this is family-like?
I think that when you bring in, I think the family's Pete Alonso, Scott Boras is a little outside the family. So I think this is a you-know-what contest here where they're ultimately wanting to break Scott Boras a little bit, embarrass him a little bit, and ultimately they're going to bring Pete back.
No, sometimes
with family, you have to have a little tough love.
I just don't see that happening.
A little tough love.
Well, I think
with Scott Boras, I don't see that happening.
Well, you can break Scott Boras. We've seen that the past few marches.
Yeah.
When, you know, Blake Snell has to settle on a deal or Matt Chapman. Exactly. Now, they eventually got their deals. Mm-hmm. But Scott's been broken before. My only issue, not with you, Tommy, because I think we agree, is don't give me the family atmosphere crap in the middle of this. Like, I just don't want to hear that. This isn't family.
But I think
it's business, bro.
It was all business when Pete hired Scott Boras.
And it was business when they signed Juan Soto.
Absolutely.
So don't pretend that it's all family.
I'm just telling you, family.
Pete Alonso and Jacob DeGrom are family. They get thrown out, and I'm not disagreeing. Look, it's business, but don't pretend like it's not.
I think with Jake, they wanted a new toy to play with, and that was Justin Verlander.
No, I think Jake, they thought he was damaged goods.
And through 2 years, they were right.
But there was also rumors or innuendos that maybe he didn't say hello to people in the hallway, and that Jake was a little ornery.
That's just his attitude. Yeah. I mean, that's just who he is, right? So maybe they wanted to do without it, perhaps. But they didn't want him. That was clear.
I mean, Evan.
It was very clear.
Evan's favorite player ever was Jacob DeGrom, and we couldn't even get an interview with the guy. We basically begged the Mets at times to get. Can we talk to Jake for 10 minutes?
So I went to spring training a few years ago, and I said to the Mets, can I have Jacob DeGrom as an interview? And they said, okay, but he's very difficult. I said, what do you mean by difficult? But it's about to be a compliment.
Yeah.
They said, he is so obsessed with his craft and preparing to pitch. That it's very difficult to get him out of that to even for 5 minutes talk to anybody. And so I thought they were blowing smoke, and I thought it was ridiculous. So I was sitting in the dugout at like 7:30 a.m. at Digital Domain Park by myself in the dugout waiting to see who they would give me. By the way, they gave me Pete Alonso, which was pretty cool. No one's on the field. I'm sitting in the dugout by myself. Guess who walks on the field at 7:35 a.m.? Jacob DeGrom to do stretching. And I'm like, they're not kidding.
Wow.
You guys are kindred spirits.
Yeah.
But no, you never interviewed him, though, right?
I did not.
Yeah.
I did not.
Did you say hi? Did you wave to him? Like,
no.
Hi, Jacob.
I was too nervous.
Hi.
No, I didn't say hi.
It's Nerdalert. It's me.
You know what they also told me about Jacob DeGrom?
I'm a big fan.
They said he's very uncomfortable talking about himself. Like, he's not one of those guys that likes to break everything down about himself.
He's not braggadocious.
So if you interview Jake.
Because I'm trying to think if I would recognize his voice.
Probably not. How often did you hear him speak?
Not very.
No.
And so you just said that. I can't even remember what he sounds like.
He did one interview with Mike Francesa after he won the Cy Young. And I remember being like jealous. Like, oh, man, Mike got Jake. It was the worst interview in the history of radio. And it's not Mike's fault or Jake's fault. The phone connection was so bad that even in the interview, you never heard Jake's voice. It was like... Bottom line is this, don't give me the family atmosphere crap, because this is business, and that's okay. I'm not ripping the Mets for it. It's business.
Okay.
They are making a business transaction on Pete Alonso. Uh-huh. They are viewing him as a number, which is, you're 30 years old, right. You've declined for 3 years, we don't want you 2 years from now. We may want you this year, because sure, you give us the best chance to win, but we're going to throw you out like yesterday's news, because Vladimir Guerrero Jr., we feel, is better than you and will age better than you.
And if we're being honest, that's probably true. And look, it's business, then it works for both parties. Pete Alonso on a short-term deal in this lineup, in a city, in a team that he's familiar with, is best for him as well. He's not getting 7 years on the open market. He probably won't even get 3 years. So if he has a monster year, look, he bet on himself last year, didn't work out till October. If he has another monster year or 2, he'll get a 3 or 4 year deal. If he goes,
I think
somebody would have sniffed at it this year. Nobody sniffed at anything.
I think he would have to have a career season, and even then, at 31 years old, as a first baseman in a market with Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who's 4 years younger, and Munetaka Murakami, who's 5 years younger. No, I actually don't think it would turn into some kind of, hey, look, that's the gold at the end of the rainbow. I think he'd have to continue to settle for short-term contracts. I don't think there's a happy ending for Pete.
A happy ending in his career here, or just like here in New York?
First of all, he's not going to be a lifelong Met.
I agree with you on that.
And that sucks, by the way. I'm not saying that with pride.
Well, they don't want to keep him long-term. It's not like we're being negative or anything here. It's just that the Mets have clearly shown that they do not want Pete Alonso.
Long-term. There you long-term. Go. See, that's long-term. You got to finish the sentence.
Yeah, long-term.
Because I don't agree.
Year or two, maybe three max.
I don't agree they don't want him back. I think they want him back on their terms.
Yeah, they need a first baseman. They definitely want him.
Let's go to Carmelo in Freehold. What's up, Carmelo?
Hey, guys. I think with Vladdy signing his last year of arbitration for $28.5 million, he's locked into that now, and Pete's still not signed. I think the Mets need to seize the moment and trade some of their young guys, some of their prospects, to get Vladdy so that way they can then him to an extension immediately.
Let's address this. Thank you for bringing that. Let's address this Vladimir Guerrero Jr. thing. Okay? Before we offer any opinions on is that the right move, how much you have to give up, and all that kind of garbage, I'm going to use my brain right now. I'm not going to follow fake accounts on social media. I'm going to do it with my noggin. And sometimes my noggin isn't 100% right. I admit that. But let's use our noggin together. And Sean, please don't get offended by the buzzwords I'm going to use.
Here we go.
Because I know you're going to face shrapnel. The Toronto Blue Jays play in the most fugaziest league we have seen in our lifetime.
Junior varsity.
The American League is a joke, okay? There is literally, in my opinion, this is where I'll put you guys over, one good team in the New York Yankees. The Orioles have gotten worse. I don't buy the Red Sox despite their aggressiveness in getting Crochet. The Astros have gotten worse. The Guardians have gotten worse. And the Royals, we'll see if they can build off next year. If you're the Blue Jays.
Texas.
Are you real? I think Texas will be fine. Yeah. Bottom line is the American League sucks, okay? Let's not get caught in the web of an argument that's not irrelevant but not important right now. If you're the Blue Jays, Teague, they're not trading Vlad Guerrero Jr. now.
No, because it wouldn't make any sense. Because the value for Vlad Jr. is going to be at the trade deadline.
And by the way, the only way you would even do that at the trade deadline is if the Blue Jays are out of it.
Yeah.
Are they going to be out of it in this garbage American League?
They could be.
It's unlikely.
It's unlikely, but they could be.
Sure.
But you got to know that Vlad doesn't want to be there, right? And so you might as well get some value. So even if they're not out of it, and let's say the Yankees are, I don't know, 12 games up, whatever, 15 games up, wouldn't you do it anyways?
Let's see where they are, but that's a discussion in July. Right. And let's see where the Mets are. Are the Mets in that position to be trading all their prospects?
To your point, it doesn't make sense for the Blue Jays to do it now.
They're not doing
it
now.
The Blue Jays want to establish themselves as a place where we're going to spend money and we're going to try to get the best players.
Yes.
It's not happening because nobody wants to go there.
And so they're not going to respond by trading their best player.
Exactly, because it just that tells you the opposite.
Steve is calling from Merrick. How are you, Steve?
I'm good. And Evan, you must get the big bucks because you stole most of my thunder. The point of family, it doesn't get any more family than Pete. However, I'd like to bring him back for 3 years. And just remind me, who's the wealthiest individual in all of sports ownership?
It is Steve Cohen, it doesn't mean he's going to do it.
Yeah.
If you ask me.
Also, the wealth doesn't matter.
What do you mean?
Because all these guys are billionaires. And by the way, they're competing with a PE firm. So PE firm is greater than individual wealth.
Right, but he can bring back Pete Alonso if he chose to.
He could, but that's not why he would.